Unity.com.
And it was when I was in college in this RA position, we had to put something together to welcome the new students. So what we did was a lip sync to the song Time Is by DC Talk. And it was epic. It was epic. I mean, I didn't remember that I did it, but I do remember now that I was reminded that it was epic. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And I don't have any proof. I have no pictures. I have no, you know, old video. This is pre-social media, you know, back when we did all our homework on stone tablets and things like that. But regardless, it was amazing. And if you had seen it, you would think it was epic too. Not only that, but you would get to see what I looked like with hair. So those, just that would have been worth seeing. But I know that even though I don't have any proof, we took that lip sync to a whole nother level, okay? That's the title for today, a whole nother level. Otis gave some really good tips about lip syncing this morning. I found an interview online that gave some of the similar concepts, but a few more that I want to share with you. If you're not aware, there's a few lip sync, popular lip sync items that go on TV. I guess I believe Jimmy Fallon does something on the Jimmy Fallon Show. I don't watch that, but I know there's some lip sync battles that take place there. And there's a show called Lip Sync Battle. And this show, Lip Sync Battle, pits like different celebrities against one another in a lip sync competition. And there's props, and it's kind of this cool thing. I watched a few clips of it. It was pretty wild. Not something I felt comfortable showing necessarily on Sunday morning, if you catch my drift. But the performances were really impressive. And here's a few things that they talked about that were important in order to make these impressive performances. First of all, you got to get the words right, right? It's first and foremost about the words. You got to know the song you're singing. You got to be able to sing along to it. That's pretty obvious. If you just get up to a lip sync song and go, watermelon, 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 which is what everyone tells you to do when you're faking it, and you don't know the words, that makes sense. But it's not going to go very far in a lip sync competition. So, like, you got to know the songs. You got to get the words right. The second thing about it is it's not just about words, because lip syncing is a performance, right? So it's also about your actions. The producer of the show, Casey Patterson, said this: someone can deliver a killer performance whether they know all the words perfectly or not. It doesn't matter that much. It's about their actions. So, commit to as much as legally possible. That was the advice. Commit to as much as is legally possible, and somewhat jokingly, but really, the key, they said, was dance like everybody's watching. Right? Not dance like nobody's watching, because that can be pretty embarrassing, I'm sure, but dance like everybody's watching. You want them to see what you do. So it's about the words, it's also about the actions, and then the third thing is it's also about heart. And I think Otis alluded to this too. You got to have some passion behind what you're doing. Right? On Lip Sync Battle, they decided not to make the contestants do popular songs or songs that were out at the time, songs that everybody knew. For that very reason, Casey Patterson once again said, we felt early on that people would only be comfortable going all out if it was a song that actually meant something to them. Not in a hokey way, but because they know it. It's their jam. Okay, so they pick a song they like because that way their heart would be in it. So words, they matter. Actions matter. And heart. Those are three vital components to a pretty good lip sync performance. And you put that all together, and that's what takes your performance to a whole nother level, okay? You can probably see where this is going, right? Calling the series Lip Sync because we want to take our faith life to a whole nother level. And it's going to involve our words, our actions, and our hearts. Those are all three important when it comes to our faith life. We all know what it's like when there are inconsistencies in one of those areas, right? When we're out of sync, like with our words. You know, 1 minute we're using our words to pray before a meal and we're thanking God for all of our blessings and for our family and for everything that he's given us. But then we say something to irritate another member of our family before we even leave the dinner table. Right? There's an inconsistency there. Right? We're out of sync. What about our actions? You know, with our hands, we hold the door open for a total stranger at the store, but then we go home and we're slamming doors closed because we're angry with someone that we love deeply. Right? Our actions are out of sync. What about our heart? Right? One moment we're feeling compelled, maybe even compelled by the Holy Spirit to help someone shovel out their driveway. But 30 minutes later, we're like stewing in anger and grumbling and complaining in our heart because we're doing way more work than they are. In fact, they're hardly doing anything. And in fact, this is not our driveway in the first place, right? Inconsistency. We're out of sync. And sometimes it's not just the same area out of sync in different times in our life. Sometimes these areas aren't consistent together, right? We've all had moments where we promise someone we're going to do something, but then our actions go in a different direction. We don't follow through. So our words are not in sync with our actions. Or we make a point to go to church and to spend some time, you know, learning God's word or time in prayer, or we stand up and we sing these worship songs, these powerful worship songs with amazing words, and we sing, but our heart isn't in it, right? Our heart isn't there. We're saying the right things, we're doing the right thing, but our heart isn't in the right place. They're out of sync. And maybe that's even the case for you this morning. We all have those times. Well, if we want to see our faith life get to that whole nother level, we need our words and our actions and our heart to be in sync with one another, but all of it to be in line with God's will for us, right? And that's what this series is about, and that's where we're starting this morning. This morning, we're going to look at a psalm, Psalm 19. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, it's page 456 in the ones that we have here. If you need a Bible, I'll volunteer Brett this morning. He wants to get some extra exercise that I need, but he's going to get it instead because I got to do the message. So anyone need a Bible, slip your hand up. I'll volunteer Brett to get it for you. Nobody? Everybody's got one? Okay. I guess you're in luck, Brett. All right. So Psalm 19, page 456 in the Bibles we have here. And this is a psalm of David, by the way. I think that's important to the context of what we're looking at this morning. He was the second king, but the greatest king in all of Israel's history. Not a perfect guy, but, you know, definitely a model of words and action and heart. We have 73 psalms, as many as 75. There are two that some people think might have been David, but 73 minimum psalms in Scripture that show that he had the words right. Okay? And then, although he wasn't perfect, he made one major, huge lapse in judgment that tainted his legacy. Although, so he wasn't perfect, but although he made that one huge error, we have numerous stories of how David's life demonstrated his faith in his actions. And then also, God himself called David a man after his own heart. Right? So when it comes to faith and words and action, and words and action and heart, David modeled those things. So that's important to see as we're heading into this psalm, and he talks about that in some pretty cool ways. So Psalm 19, he begins with this. All right, Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. There is nothing hidden from its heat. We'll pause there for a moment. These are the first six verses of a 14-verse psalm, and I think it's interesting to note that what David starts with here. In the almost half of the psalm is committed to doing what? In the big picture, praising God, right? He's acknowledging how big and how great God is. That's what he starts with. There's a lot of details that he pours out, but as a whole, you look at this passage and David is going, God is amazing. God is great. He starts by praising God. When we go to him, is that where we start from? Whether it's prayer or worship or, you know, just our communication with God, do we start in that place of praising him? You know? Or do we just jump into like, okay, here's what I need, God. You know, dear God, would you please heal my friend? Would you please, God, would you please give me the finances I need to fix my car or to get a new one? Would you please help me forgive my husband or wife for how they treated me or change them altogether, right? We start with what we want, with what we need so many times. David doesn't do that. He starts with praise. He goes to God with praise. Sometimes, we should do the same. Sometimes, by the way, it feels like we might be saying the same things of praise to God over and over and over again. It's like, okay, God, you are great, you're amazing, you're awesome, thank you for your kindness, that sort of thing. And it seems like we're saying the same words. So we kind of take that for granted. Sometimes it might be challenging for us to think of new things to praise God for, but we should start with praise. I think that's what is being shown here. For David, he starts this song with praise. And then he changes gears to get to some things. Starting in verse 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward." Okay, we'll pause there for a minute. So he uses these words. He talks about the law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, the rules, or the just decrees of God. Now, specifically, he's referring to he'd be talking about the instructions that he would have in the first five books of the Bible, right? A lot of rules and regulations and rituals there. And generally, he's talking about the instructions that God gives us for how we're supposed to live. And we tend to hate rules and regulations and rituals. But David, he calls them, some of the words that he uses, perfect and sure and right and pure and clean. He says they're righteous and true. He says that God's instruction will do what? It'll revive our soul. It'll make us wise. It'll make our hearts rejoice. It'll enlighten our eyes. So he sees them as incredible things for himself. He sees them as worth more than the finest gold and sweeter than the sweetest honey, and acknowledges that in keeping them there's this great reward. Again, another question as we hear his words, do we really believe that? Do you and I really believe that? Do we really embrace God's instruction for us with the same kind of passion that David did? Because that was a pretty powerful statement that he makes there. Now, I realize, like, okay, yes, we aren't Jewish. We aren't Old Testament people. We aren't bound by the same laws. We know about the grace of Jesus and that we're not justified or saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, and that's a gift from God. We get all that. But still, the scriptures provide us these instructions and guidance about how we're supposed to live our lives, especially in the New Testament. But the fact that we're saved by grace through faith doesn't mean we get to throw those instructions out. We don't get to ignore what God says is right and best for us. In fact, because of the great gift that God has given us in Jesus, in thanks and gratitude, we should want to please him even more. And we can think of it this way. We don't walk in his ways so that we are loved. We don't walk in his ways so that we are forgiven. We don't walk in his ways so that we are saved. But we walk in his ways because we are loved, because we are forgiven, and because we're saved. We want to please God. And I think that's at the heart of David here. But even if we want to please him, even if we're seeking to do that, it's not easy for us to do. And I think that's where the psalm goes next. Verse 12, David says, "Who can discern his errors?" Now, he's not talking about God's errors there. He's talking about, like, his own errors. Who can discern his own errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. There are some things that are completely and obviously wrong for us. We realize when we mess up. But sometimes we just don't see how we're off base, how we're out of line. And sometimes that's because we take this one little tiny misstep off the path God has for us. And then we take another, and then we take another, and pretty soon we find ourselves drifting further and further away from what he intends. And we don't even realize it. And eventually, we might even become totally numb, totally oblivious to how we're grieving his heart. Right? And David says, "God, if there's anything like that in me, would you forgive me? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults." Then he says, "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression." He asked God to keep him from presumptuous sins. And if you look at that word presumptuous, this is going to be a long definition here, but it's really like four different ways of saying it. It means, presumptuous means overstepping our bounds. It means taking liberties. It means going beyond what is right and proper because of an excess of self-confidence or arrogance. And it means failing to observe the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. All right? He asked God to keep him from any of those things. Any of that, like, hit home for us? It sure does, because we all come up short. Right? We all step out of line. We all mess up. We're all rule breakers who need God's mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. And David's song or his prayer then is, "God, would you keep me back from doing anything like that?" So I think in these couple of verses, what we see genuinely is that David wants, at least first of all, his actions to be in sync with God's heart. And then the last verse of the Bible says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And we talk about he's talked about the actions. Now he says, let the words of my mouth. When you think about that, words are one of the easiest things to use, but was one of the hardest things to control, right? James chapter 3 talks about this, if you want to read through that at some time, but just a couple of highlights of the verses that James says. He says, "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, then he's a perfect man," right? "Also able to bridle his whole body." It's so much easier to keep our actions in check sometimes than our words. He also says, "The tongue is a fire, it's a world of unrighteousness. No human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison." That's a pretty potent picture, right? "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." So from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And I think that's the spirit of what David's trying to get at here, right? He wants to get his words in sync with God's will too, right? May the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. And then he says also, may the meditation of my heart Some translations actually say the thoughts of my heart. Because this word for heart, it you know, in its most full sense means, it refers to our inner being. It's our heart, it's our mind, it's our will, it's our inner being. So it's getting at the deepest part of who we are. So he wants his heart, his thoughts, his feelings, all of who he is, to be in sync with God's will too. Right? So thinking about the big picture of what David is getting at here in this psalm, he's longing for his words, his actions, and his heart to be in sync with God's will for him. Right? That's ultimately what his desire is. And I think if we want to talk about seeing our faith life go to a whole nother level, then that's important for us, that our words, our actions, and our heart need to be in sync with God's will for us. Right? Our words, our actions, and our heart, they need to be in sync with God's will for us. Part of the reason that we're diving into this series is that there have been a lot of really heavy things that are going on in our faith community. We've seen a number of people who are falling away from faith or running from God. There are others who are just have been really struggling with some serious issues, maybe sin issues or just life circumstances. And others are really chasing after God and wanting to pursue him the best they can and pouring out for him, but we're tired and worn out. Right? And I think when all of those things can be really dangerous, hard places to be. And for any of that to change, for any of that to start to move in a different direction, I think we have to draw a line in the sand. We have to decide no more lip syncing. Right? No more faking it. We're not going to pretend anymore. We're not going to kid ourselves into thinking that everything is okay. We're going to get really honest with ourselves, with others, about where we're at. We're not going to run from the people who care enough about us to speak hard truth or important truth into our lives. And we're not going to hide from God. Right? Because the alternative to doing that is we continue to struggle in the same sins that we've always struggled with. Our relationships start to go downhill. We'll find ourselves spiraling deeper and deeper into those same sin patterns that we know we don't want to be there. And then God will continue to grow more and more distant for us. Not that he's moving away from us, but we're moving away from him. So that's what I hope this series begins to get at. Now, I'll be honest with you, as we roll through this over the next few weeks, sometimes we go into a series and I've got like this plan, and then the plan goes all haywire and 6 weeks becomes 26 weeks, and you guys know that, right? This one, I'm going, I know this week, I know kind of where we're headed next week, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure where God wants us to go after that. It's a little nebulous for me. I feel in some ways like I'm going, come on, let's go walk into this fog that we don't know exactly where we're going to be at the end of it. But I can tell you what has been really impressed in my heart for this series is this, that first of all, it's one where we have a little bit of fun together, right? This whole idea of a lip sync battle and doing that, it's we want to have some fun together. We want to be able to laugh at ourselves a little bit because, you know, if we can't do that in a place like this, if we can't be a safe place to laugh at ourselves a little bit here, then we're probably not going to do that anywhere else. We're never going to open up and be vulnerable anywhere else. So don't be afraid to sign up for that lip sync battle list in the back, all right? Put your name on there. We want to have some fun with it. But mostly I want it to be a season for us where we're just growing in our truth and transparency when it comes to our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and even getting real with what's happening inside of us, where we are really at, where we can be as a community honest about our struggles, honest about our failures, but also rejoicing with one another where we're having success and where we're having victories. Okay. So I think the start of that is acknowledging that we want our words, our actions, and our heart to be in sync with one another, but also in sync with what God has for our lives. And I want that to be our prayer as we kind of launch into this lip sync series. Would you join me in prayer for a moment as we close? Heavenly Father, just as David did, we want to come before you in this moment of prayer and praise you, acknowledge what an amazing God you are. You've given your son Jesus on our behalf, an incredible gift to make us right with you. And we're so grateful for that. We're just so blessed by you in so many different ways. And we just thank you and praise you for those blessings. And God, as we look ahead to these coming weeks, would you stir something in our hearts? Individually, yes, but as a community, where we will chase after you, not wanting to be fake, wanting to be real with where we're at, and ultimately longing for our words, but not just our words, also our actions, and not just our words and actions, but also our very heart, the deepest part of who we are, to be in line with what you want for us. We know that's not an easy place to be, but we pray that you would work in us, through us, among us, to bring us to that place. And God, we pray that you would lead and guide us each step in the next few weeks, as ultimately, regardless of what the fog looks like, or how little we can see of what's in front of us, we are chasing after you. And we ask for you to lead and guide us through it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.